This is Northumberland at 5.
And good evening. I'm Dan Jones, in with you for the next hour, bringing you some amazing interviews, but also some local talent musician-wise. I consider this the next hour everything Northumberland, because everything that's going to happen from 5 to 6 is everything based in Northumberland. So let's get started right away. McHappy Day is tomorrow, meaning a portion of all sales from every McDonald's item sold goes to Ronald McDonald Houses across the country. These facilities provide families whose children are receiving critical care a free place to stay close to treatment centers. Jenna Devlin and her son Hendricks of Northumberland County spent 256 days at a Toronto Ronald McDonald House as Hendricks was receiving treatment for leukemia. I spoke to Jenna about her and Hendricks' experience and the support they received at Ronald McDonald House.
So Hendricks is over 9 months post bone marrow transplant, and he's doing very well. He's just dealing with a side effect with bone marrow transplant, which is called graft versus host disease. It's when the donor cells attacks the body and there's an immune response. So he's on steroids. But other than that, he is happy, well, healthy, and his blood counts are great.
That's wonderful. So let's go back to the diagnosis. What was Hendricks diagnosed with?
So Hendricks was diagnosed with B-cell acute lymphoblastic leukemia in February 23rd, 2023. He had an early relapse January 7th of 2025, which only happens in 5% of patients.
Now, when you got that news, what was going through your mind at the initial diagnosis? What were you thinking at that point?
I was in complete, utter shock, because I never thought I would ever hear the word saying that your son has cancer. I grew up with having an oma that had chronic leukemia, so I've known about what that is, but I never thought that it would be my own child and going through it, and had no idea what the survival rate is.
Did Hendricks understand or comprehend what was going on at that age to him, and possibly what was going to be going on down the road for him?
So he was diagnosed when he was just 2 months shy of being three. He didn't really understand what cancer was until kind of further on in treatment, where he grew up too fast and he started to understand what chemotherapy was, what lumbar punctures were, about his specific leukemia diagnosis, and what his body was doing inside. Actually, sick kids referred it as like a military, like an army fighting all the bad cells. So he learned pretty quickly and had the vocabulary that he shouldn't have at the age of three.
So you kind of get the diagnosis, but there's all this other hidden information about what's next. Where do you go? How do you turn to? How did that process unfold? And really, what did you learn about the strength of the cancer community?
Yeah, so when Hendricks was diagnosed, we only had the clothes on our back, and we were right away told, you need to go down to sick kids. And you just got this diagnosis, you're in complete shock. You have no idea that your world just turned upside down or what to expect. And it was actually sick kids and the navigator resource team that sat with us and was like, have you heard about Ronald McDonald House, Toronto? And explain it to us, and sat down with us, and specific person was supposed to be done their shift at 4 p.m. and he walked out with us at 10 p.m. to make sure that we had a place to stay. And when he was first diagnosed that time, we never left Toronto for 34 days. So everything that we had to navigate, and it was thanks to Ronald McDonald House for helping us and having a place for us to rest while we were just focused on the cancer diagnosis and being there for Hendricks' bedside.
Just to kind of confirm, because there's a fast timeline here. It sounds like as soon as you get the diagnostics, the doctor or your doctor said you need to go to sick kids, and that's when the ball was really rolling. It wasn't like a couple weeks.
No.
It was boom, you're now on your way to Toronto.
Yeah, it was very fast. It's like you get the diagnosis. We had to go down to Toronto. Hendrix had to receive a blood transfusion, a platelet transfusion. There was actually a shortage that they didn't even have his blood type at the hospital. And it was very quickly. It was the next day. You're having a bone marrow aspiration to see how much cancer's in the body and what exact type of leukemia it is, and then so on, starting treatment within 24 to 30 hours of the diagnosis.
So then now you refer to Ronald McDonald House and you're spending your first night there. Well, describe what's the feeling. What are your emotions are at that point?
So you see the commercials all the time, but unless you have to step foot in there, you truly don't know. We were welcomed with open arms. You can already, from the staff, you can feel that there's like a sense of community there. They have all the resources, all the toiletries, all the necessities that you need. The way that the room felt, it felt like you were at a hotel, just minus the fact that, you know, you're responsible in keeping your room maintained and clean. There was a beautiful kitchen with like state-of-the-art appliances to cook meals and coffee and tea and, you know, the basic necessities that you need, like eggs, yogurt, milk, bread, all provided for you. So that just alleviated a lot of the stress of, like, you know, what are you going to do? Because when your world is turned upside down, you're not thinking about the basic stuff to fuel your body on a daily.
Yeah, so it sounds like they take care of everything for you so you can concentrate on treatment and the most important stuff.
Exactly. And they're only about a 10-minute walk from SickKids, like even a 5-minute walk to Mount Sinai, where a lot of other families come from too. It's a home away from home is the best way to describe it. And Ronald McDonald House will lift you up in your darkest of days. And we've experienced that not once, but three times going through it.
Obviously, you spent quite a few days there, 256, I believe.
Yeah.
That's 10 months, really. 10 months of your life you're spending at a place that isn't yours and now is your new home due to the circumstances. What friendships, you know, talk about the other families that you met, the staff that make it so great for you and your son.
Yes, I've spoken about that it feels like a community. You are in a place where many families are going through, whether it's a similar diagnosis or others, and you just have this sense of comfort and knowing that you are not the only one going through it. And it was even for Hendrix that he made friends, because his whole life had turned upside down again for the second time. And it became a normalcy. It was like our everyday today, seeing the staff, the same faces every day, welcoming us, being with us there whenever we needed anything, playing with Hendrix. Still to this day, we still talk to a lot of the families that we have met. And Hendrix is still very close with those friends he's made, and he lived such an isolating life that this was his people that he could safely be around because they were all immunocompromised.
So obviously Wednesday's a big day. It's a McHappy Day, a fundraising
yes.
day. What's that mean to you?
McHappy Day has always meant a lot to us, even before he was diagnosed. For us now, it hits even closer to home. It is McDonald's Canada's largest annual fundraiser supporting families with serious ill or injured children through the Ronald McDonald House, Toronto and across the country. Every menu item, a portion of it will be donated back to the charity. For us, it's just more families being able to stay closer to their child's care, being at bedside, having a place to stay and live. Because you don't know that it's going to happen to you until your world is turned upside down and you're forced to live in another city away from your home. And this place will wrap you with their arms around you tightly and give you a place that just feels safe.
So what's Hendrick's favorite McDonald's item?
He loves his chicken nugget Happy Meal with a Diet Coke and sweet and sour sauce.
And I bet he'll be getting that on Wednesday.
He'll be getting that on Wednesday probably a bunch of times.
Right on, Jan. Is there anything else you can add?
I would just say for everyone that is going into supporting McHappy Day that you are supporting a very incredible charity and that it truly does keep families stay closer together because they kept our family close together for 256 days and alleviated a lot of financial stressors.
McHappy Day is taking place tomorrow, Wednesday, at McDonald's restaurants.
If you've got leaving on your mind, tell me now, get it over. Hurt me now, get it over. If you've got leaving on your mind, if there's a new love in your heart, tell me now, get it over. Hurt me now, get it over. If there's a new love in your heart, there's a new love in your heart. Tell me now, get it over. Hurt me now, get it over. If there's a new love in your heart, hurt me now, get it over.
Cedar Rail there, leaving on your mind 19 after 5 here on Northumberland at 5. Mental Health Week is this week, as Lakelands Public Health is teaming up with local libraries to promote social connection. Physical displays are set up at the libraries where residents can view message boards on why social connection matters and its impacts on health. There are bookmarks, coloring pictures, and a draw for a prize. More enthusiastic residents can participate in a challenge of activities such as talking with a neighbor, sending a message of appreciation, or participating in an event or activity at the library. Joanne Brewster, health promoter at Lakelands Public Health, says social interactions improve overall health.
What we really hope to accomplish with promoting social connection is a couple of things. One is how important it is and its impact on health, physical health and mental health. And secondly, we really want to promote the activities, programs, and services that our local libraries provide. And they are community hubs, and they're important sort of social infrastructure in our communities. So those are the top reasons that we really wanted to focus on social connection this year.
Now, take a trip down memory lane for a bit here, but going back to the COVID era, social connection has really decreased those several years, and it seemed that people had a hard time kind of getting out of the hermit stage of COVID once things started to resolve. Did you find that that was the case and that may still be the case now?
I would say COVID was difficult, to say the least, for a lot of different reasons. you know, it was new and evolving. The guidance was changing sort of frequently and rapidly. And I really think people were doing the best they could with what they knew at the time. I would say the whole idea of being socially isolated really was brought to the forefront during COVID and after. And, you know, when we talk about health, we can easily focus on things like, you know, eating nutritious foods and good foods and getting lots of sleep and, you know, participating in physical activities. But we don't often talk about social health. And I think for some people, connection feels really difficult for a number of different reasons. Other people find it very easy. So I think the message overall is social connection is important for everyone, not just for folks who might be feeling lonely. And it really is a health behavior. And if we can sort of normalize it as an everyday health behavior, then I think that's one of the things we wanted to promote this Mental Health Week.
Wonderful. So in terms of the interactive displays at the libraries that patrons can go and see, what are they expecting? Give us an example of what a display might say or do.
For sure. So these are physical displays in the libraries. There's a display board with messages and information about, you know, why social connection matters, its impacts on health. There are some takeaways there. There's bookmarks. There's coloring pages for children and adults. There's bookmarks. There's a draw for a prize, so people can put a ballot in the ballot box and enter the draw. There's a connection challenge kind of activity chart where people can put a sticker beside the activity that they will try during Mental Health Week, and those are things like, you know, checking in with a neighbor or sending a message of appreciation or checking out an event or activity at the library. And then the library themselves, who have been terrific partners, by the way, they've just been fantastic, amazing to work with. They are going to add to those displays with their own collection of resources, books, of course, but, you know, events and activities and clubs and things that the libraries are doing every day, really, to promote social connection. So they're an integral part of this whole campaign.
So how do you track how well social connection is going for this week?
Well, we're certainly hoping that the libraries are going to give us some feedback, and I'm sure they will, about what patrons have said about the materials, how many materials are taken, you know, comments that are made, the number of people that enter the draw. We are just sort of having a snapshot of just 1 week. I know the library sees, you know, lots of traffic at various different times of the year. So we'll be working with the libraries to sort of evaluate what they thought and what they heard from patrons, for sure. And hits to our website. This is part of a social media campaign too, so we'll be looking for likes and shares and the number of people who go to our website to learn more.
That's wonderful, Joanne. Is there anything else you can add?
The only thing I would just say is that we really, really, really want to make sure that, you know, we're talking about connections that make people feel valued and belonging. Nobody's sort of saying, you know, you have to go out and be friends with everybody, or that you're going, if you, you know, sort of think of yourself as an introvert, that suddenly you need to go out and be an extrovert. But really, you know, nourishing those relationships that make you feel like you belong, that you're valued, and that you matter. And that's important for everybody. There's things that individuals can do, and there's things that communities can do, and there are lots of things that our libraries are doing. So we're really thankful for their partnership and trust that patrons will go in and look at the display and enter our draw and check out the resources that are there.
Every public library in Northumberland County is participating in Mental Health Week activities, which runs from May 4th to the 10th. Coming up after the break, Nicola Magnolia. Stick around.
I'm Philip Lawrence, your Member of Parliament for Northumberland Clark. It's an honor of a lifetime to serve each and every one of you as your voice in Ottawa. As your federal representative, my office is here to help you with any federal programs or services that you may require assistance with. Everything from passports to CRA to OAS. We are here to help. Give us a call at 905-372-8757. That's 905-372-8757. Thank you once again. It's an honor and privilege to serve.
Got something to say? Text us anytime on the Northumberland 897 text line. The number is 905-372-2321. Request a song, share a thought, or just join in on the conversation. The Northumberland 897 text line, proudly sponsored by Country Sign and Wraps, your source for Northumberland's printed outdoor event banners at countrysign.ca.
And now, Northumberland Humane Society Pet of the Week, brought to you by Northumberland 89.7 FM. Meet Holden, a smart, energetic dog ready for adventure. He loves long walks, hikes, and staying active. And he'll thrive with a family who can keep both his body and mind engaged. Holden is eager to learn and just needs some continued training and socialization to reach his full potential. Visit Northumberland897.ca or call 905-885-4131 to learn more about Holden today, because every pet deserves a loving home.
Magnolia there with Liar Liar. She's got an album release live concert June 11th down at Victoria Hall, 8 p.m. there. Check it out. A second Northumberland County community is offering a mobile food market. The Community Health Centers of Northumberland will hold a one-hour market tomorrow, that being Wednesday, in Colburn. This follows a series of similar markets in Grafton, offering patrons the ability to purchase produce, locally grown meats, and homemade soups and meat pies at a discount. The addition of the Colburn Market is viewed as instrumental in increasing food security, as a fire destroyed that community's only grocery store a few years ago. Community Health Centers of Northumberland dietitian Adam Hudson says this market is significant for budget-minded people.
For a long time, we have been trying to expand food access in Northumberland. And we've been running a community food market at the Community Health Center for 2+ years, thanks to an original Ontario Trillium Fund, where we buy local produce from farmers, pay them the price that they're asking for, bring it back into the center, and purposely charge less than what we paid for. Kind of a silly business model, but seems to be sustainable. And the idea is to make food, local food, more accessible, to pay farmers the fair wage, and to make our food miles a little bit less and support the local food system. So we had a lot of communities interested in adopting this model, but we recognize that in Colborne, with the unfortunate fires over the last couple of years and their geographical location, there is not a grocery store close to them. And while there is a food bank, not everyone might feel comfortable going to a food bank. There's just not a lot of food access points out there, and same with Grafton. So at the beginning of the year, we went and opened in Grafton with partnership with the St. Andrews United Church. And Colborne was right up there with our goal to get there. We just had a hard time finding a space. And thankfully, with this new Ontario Trillium Fund and the support of the United Way Northumberland, we made some connections. And we are just so excited to be launching our first market in Colborne tomorrow, as we feel it's a community need and we feel it's our responsibility as a health center.
So let's kind of go through what people can expect. You talked about produce, fruits, veg, but there's also meats, proteins, homemade foods. So let's get into what is on
absolutely.
The menu, really.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. We launched a market in the middle of January in southern Ontario, so it's not like that there's a ton of awesome, fresh, local produce being put out there, but we did source our best, and we will continue to. All the options are going to be a lot more varied in the coming weeks, but yeah, you're right, Dan. We source foods from local farms that also produce their own meat, so we've got ground beef and sausages and different cuts of chicken, different cuts of pork. We can get in different cuts of different meats sometimes if requested. So we have the meats. We have meat pies that are made by some of these farms. I know that one of the farms, their pastry maker took a 2-week holiday break, and people were very upset because they couldn't get their meat pies. So we've got them back in stock. But then we also offer homemade soups. We at the health center, there's a team of volunteers in there right now. There's 4 of our volunteers making 2 or 3 big batches of soup, which we break down into single servings, and we make them available. And that's one of our hottest selling items. They're healthy, so we try to make them low sodium, lots of veggies in there. They taste amazing, and they're made with our local ingredients, but they're affordable. They're $2 for a single serving. So someone who's in there looking for a quick fix dinner. I know when we open it up to staff at 3:00, the soups go like crazy because everyone's like, sweet, we've got dinner tonight, so we know what we're making. And there's something warm and loving about a nice bowl of soup, we think. So
now let's go back earlier in the year. You were opened in Grafton.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It kind of, what did you learn? What are people saying about that market? And what do you think you carried forward from that market to Colborne?
Sure, yeah. Grafton, I have to give the biggest shout out to Olivia and John, the 2 volunteers that have been helping us and really were advocates in setting up this market. They recognized that the market could be more than just a spot to buy food. It could be a place for social connection. It can be a place for community members to come together. I just finished a show today on the Weekly Health Beat where we talked about social connection being Mental Health Week. We have people who come, sit down, pour themselves a cup of coffee, shoot the breeze with a couple of buddies, and then grab some veg on the way out. It is much more of a community hub space than it is just to come and do a 5-minute grocery shop. So it's a place where people can come together, celebrate the local food bounty, talk recipes, talk shop about what's going on in town. And what we've learned from that is we know we need to have a little space in our markets for people to have that social connection. Back in Port Hope, we have people who show up 30, 40 minutes ahead of time, and we've got the same gang of ladies that come, they socialize, they buy their veg, then they all go out for coffee. They didn't know each other before this market. And those are the neat stories that we hope to be able to continue to facilitate around the power of good food. And it's amazing what food can do to bring people together.
So then, was this organic, or was this kind of purposely set up in Grafton and what you learned in Port Hope, you kind of brought that over to Grafton.
We wanted to, it was a little mixture of both. We knew that we always wanted to create a welcome space, whether that's when we're running our food bank at the health center, whether it's the market, whether it's a social group. We're always looking to build social connection because the feeling of belonging and having some social connections is important for health. So if that's just hiding in the background and the whole display is food or maybe a food seminar or a health topic at the center, we always make sure that it's focused around people because people being around each other is healthy for the soul and healthy for our community. So we always have our radar on to see what's working, to see what's not, to see what people enjoy. And we're going to put out a bunch of big kind of chart papers in Colborne over the next couple of weeks and same in Grafton to say, what else can we do? What do you like about this market? And what's working? Do you want it outside once a week? Do you want us to bring the barbecue and fire that up at some point? We're always adapting to what people are in the community are saying because it's a community-driven process, these markets, and it will continue to be so.
Now, one thing that I appreciated about the Grafton market is that you can buy only what you need. If you need a single potato, mm-hmm. a single carrot, mm-hmm. you don't need to buy a whole bag.
Nope.
Especially for a lot of people. I mean, I know that potatoes, when they're on sale, they're $2 for 10 pounds, but yep. a lot of people can't eat 10 pounds of potatoes. So
absolutely.
I mean, that the individual choice is really budget friendly.
It is. And you're totally right. What's someone living on their own who maybe eats a potato once or twice a week going to do with 10 pounds? So if they can come in and spend a quarter on a potato and it's big enough to get two meals out of, then that's perfect. Or 25 cents for a carrot. And you're right. It might seem, well, I can go buy a bag of 3 pounds of carrots for X amount of dollars, but is that worth that amount up front when it's going to go to waste anyway? So I worked at the cash a couple of weeks ago covering for my colleague. And the amount of times I heard a customer say to me, wait a second, that's it? Like when it came to the price? And it's not like we are selling things off at clearance prices. Again, we are trying to keep this sustainable, but compared to the food prices in the store, when you can walk out with 2 carrots, 2 potatoes, 2 beets, a head of lettuce, and a serving of soup for $5 or $6, it unfortunately, that seems like a deal in today's day and age when maybe 10 years ago it's seem like a scam, but we're trying to adapt to the times that we're living in, and it's individualized, and that's the point you made, Dan. It's much more individualized for people to be. And we took a page out of Burnham's Family Market, who has long quartered cabbages and sold them at lower prices. So kudos to Burnham's for setting that standard. But it's something that we take pride in making it an even more accessible for individuals as well.
The concept, though, is you're meeting individuals where they're at.
Absolutely.
And not forcing. You're talking about affordability. You're not forcing people to pick winner or loser in terms of nutritious foods or paying a bill.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's if we can provide a little bit of wiggle room in someone's food budget by offering them some food at what we think is a fair price, then maybe that extra $10 they're saving can go to the higher prices of gas or the other groceries that we're not able to provide or their bills at home. And again, we believe that everyone in this community should have the right and access to nutrient-dense food that is familiar to them, that's culturally appropriate, and that's at a fair price. And I think we're really hitting the nail on the head here.
The Colborne Mobile Food Market is taking place 2 to 3 p.m. at Mystic Avenue Yoga and Wellness Studio. Kim Doolittle on the way.
Big hearts, big Macs, big impact. May 6 is McHappy Day at McDonald's in Port Hope, Coburg, Brighton, and Campbellford. A portion of every purchase supports YMCA Northumberland programs for local kids and Ronald McDonald House. Order, enjoy, and donate because every kid deserves a chance to shine.
If you're a local business looking to grow, this message is for you. Katz Media Port Hope is now Katz Marketing, a trusted local team with over 40 years of experience helping businesses stand out. From website design to printing and signage, we help you reach your customers wherever they're searching, out and about, online, and in AI. Our clients say it best. They captured our essence and branding, a true full-service marketing experience. Businesses across Northumberland trust Katz Marketing, and you can too. If you're serious about growing your business, now's the time. Visit katzmc.ca or call 905-885-9998 to start the conversation. Katz Marketing, built for what's next.
Not stormy out there, but it is a little wet. Kim Doolittle, Stormy Weather on Northumberland 89.7. MPP David Pacini says the Ontario government will make changes, creating fairer conditions on how actors are paid and treated. New legislation will put regulations on talent agencies to ensure that there's a cap on agency commissions, a 10-day pay period, and to hold talent funds in a separate bank account. Pacini, who recently made the announcement, says the new law is intended to provide fairness for the entertainment industry.
Here's what I've been hearing when I sit down with the people who actually make this industry run. The system doesn't always treat them fairly. Performers who complete the work, who brought the role to life, wait weeks or sometimes months for a paycheck. And sometimes they're just never paid at all. In one case, a talent agency shut down overnight, leaving more than 60 performers stranded. left owing cumulatively well over $600,000, and I think into the millions, to be fair. Last year, I had the opportunity to sit down with a number of these actors to hear their story. This is the very best that this province has to offer. They tell our story as a nation. They bring our stories as a people to life. And the stories I heard were heartbreaking. And it's not a one-off. That's what happens when there are no rules. Workers pay the price. Right now, talent agencies in Ontario are unregulated. No requirements for how they handle performers' money. No deadlines for when they have to pay. For an industry of this size and importance, that's simply not good enough. Our province is a global destination for film and television production because of our talent, our infrastructure, and our reputation. We have the best performers and entertainment workers in the world, full stop. And clear, transparent rules don't just protect workers, they protect their paychecks and strengthen the reputation, making Ontario an even more attractive place for productions to invest, to grow, and to create good-paying jobs. The good actors in this industry, and there are many, as was said today, Tamek and so many others, they want a level playing field, rules to ensure everyone is playing fair, rules that they abide by, and a high standard that they have set in this industry. And that's why today I'm proud to announce that our government will soon introduce new legislation that would, if passed, improve fairness, transparency, and accountability in the entertainment industry. Through a new standalone statute, and government loves our acronyms, we're calling it the Strengthening Talent Agency Regulation Act, or the STAR Act. We would deliver practical protections that performers have been asking for. And this includes common sense things that I've heard from the people here today. A cap on agency commissions and a ban on any other fees on top of that to be prescribed in regulation. A 10 business day deadline for agencies to pay performers subject to regulations. And a requirement to hold performers' funds in a separate bank account. These are the kinds of protections that will positively impact tens of thousands of performers across Ontario. At its core, this is about protecting performers' paychecks. Because if you did the work, you should get paid. And the same principle applies beyond the entertainment industry. Think about the server at your favorite restaurant, housekeeper in a hotel, a retail worker stocking shelves. Right now, some of these workers are being asked to pay out of pocket for uniforms they're required to wear on the job, clothing they can't use anywhere else. While some corporations make record profit, their workers are being asked to pay. And no one should have to pay to go to work. In some cases, the cost of a uniform is upwards of $50, $60, $80, some cases over $100. And that's money coming directly out of the paycheck before they've even settled into their job. As one worker put it, if I'm required to wear it, my employer should be paying for it. So we're taking action today. I'm also proud to announce that our government will soon be introducing changes to the Employment Standards Act that would, if passed, protect workers' paychecks by banning mandatory uniform charges by large employers that take money out of their pockets. Because no one should have to worry about paying for their uniform when starting off their job. And this is going to help an estimated 100,000 people across Ontario putting more money back in their pockets. In closing, both of these changes come down to the same idea and same principle. Fundamentally, that work should pay. To every worker who's ever had a cost deducted from their paycheck that they didn't ask for, this government, we see you, and this legislation fixes it.
Coming up after the break, community announcements. Stick around.
Are you looking for the perfect gift this Mother's Day? Northumberland 89.7 has you covered. Give the gift of glow from Village Beauty Bar and Halo Head Spa. Enter now for your chance to win a luxurious Mother's Day beauty package featuring a deluxe facial and an exciting new head spa treatment valued at $250. This incredible prize is courtesy of Village Beauty Bar and Halo Head Spa, located at 18 Ontario Street in Port Hope. It's easy to enter. Visit Northumberland897 on Instagram or go to northumberland897.ca and click the Mother's Day contest icon. Enter to win today.
Hey, got a project in mind? A new deck, a shed, garage, workshop, or even an equestrian facility? NS Custom Contracting can build it without the stress. We deliver quality craftsmanship from start to finish with clear communications every step of the way. WSIB insured, meaning you can be confident in your build. Visit nsccontracting.com to see our work. Then you can call for a free quote, 905-797-3000. That's 905-797-3000. NS Custom Contracting, built on experience, built to last.
Here's what's happening in Northumberland.
Hi, this is Andrea with What's Happening. The Port Hope Farmers Market opens on Wednesday afternoons, starting May 6, 1 p.m. in the Home Hardware parking lot on Toronto Road, and that's Wednesday. Absolutely Choir Northumberland year-end concert to benefit Rose Quest is Wednesday, May 6, 7 p.m. Trinity United Church in Coburg. Stand Up for Human Rights 4 is Wednesday, May 6 at 7 p.m. at the Ganaraska Hotel in Port Hope. Paul Galantly, the Tattooed Gardener and Spring Mini Flower and Photograph Show is Wednesday, May 6 at 7:30 at the Salvation Army Community Church, and that's 59 Ballantyne Street in Coburg. Spring Fling in downtown Coburg is Thursday, May 7th. Shop late till 8. Come on out and shop till you drop. Enjoy local foods and all kinds of things. Don't miss it, ladies. Clark Blossom Spring Market opens for the season Thursday, May 7th at noon. Take a beautiful drive out to 2280 McCullough Road, Port Hope.
If you have an upcoming event you'd like us to share, email info@northumberland897.ca.
Well, I boarded up my heart and shut out all the light, and the weeds grew up and the rains came down and drowned out all my sight. Sounds and scent grew fainter as love faded like a painter with a can of black, the color of night. My heart drifted off to sleep, forgot to ever wake up, gave up the fight.
Gave up the fight.
A little more than half of me is missing more than half of you. My heart's been gone so long, don't even know it's been blue. A little more than half of me is missing more than half of you. If you hang around long enough, you'll see that ain't half bad for me. Well, I thought I heard a voice as I drifted in my sleep. You gotta make a choice, boy, you know it's time to leap. Well, I squeezed my eyes shut hard, 'cause you know my heart's got scars. She just kept saying, baby, let me be your northern star. My eyes came open just a crack, 'cause man, she's got the knack to get this heart back on track. A little more than half of me is missing more than half of you. My heart's been gone so long, don't even know it's been blue. A little more than half of me is missing more than half of you. If you hang around long enough, you'll see that ain't half bad for me. Don't even know it's been blue. A little more than half of me is missing more than half of you. If you hang around long enough, you'll see that ain't half bad for me. If you hang around long enough, you'll see that ain't half a bad for me.
Yeah, that's Michael Arthur, Ain't Half Bad. We got 5 minutes away from 6 o'clock here on Northumberland 89.7's Northumberland at 5. And that, folks, is going to do it for me today. So thanks for tuning in. Join me again on Thursday for another great edition. I've got even more interviews packed for that hour, so stay tuned for that. Take care of yourselves and each other out there.